jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 10 Supercoach Coach Podcast. I'm Marcus and I'm joined this week again by FB Donkey.
G'day everyone. I promise not to make any King Kong joke.
Eddie McGuire's got a habit of putting his foot in his mouth, Mark, but you're actually a bit crook this week, so hopefully you hold up through the show. But you've actually got really good news on the Supercoach front, Mark. Highest rank of the season, I do believe.
I think you're just pandering to me a bit here, mate, because I'm still at least 1,000 spots behind you. I did rise up the rankings, though. Had an okay week with about 2,300. Jumped to 1570th and sitting pretty well placed going into the buys. I brought in Nick Nat last week, which was a nice unique for 1 week, because after this week, plenty of coaches are going to have him with Louis going down.
Very nice, Mark. And I remember we had this discussion last week and we had differing opinions on Nick Nat. So you're going to one up on me this week, Mark, because I think I'm going to be pulling that trigger myself. So a week after he scores 148, he's going to be coming in for me at 20K more, I think. So at least you got a bit more of a discount there, but I suspect he'll be in a fair few teams after this weekend. And with Pritis a popular player, Cox a popular player, and Kennedy a popular player, I think there'll be a fair few Eagles running around. So hopefully they rise up over the next few rounds, because fantasy coaches will be fairly dependent on the Eagles premiums.
Yeah, I've got all those guys, mate, so we'll be backing them to the hilt. At least they've been scoring all right.
Now, this week, Mark, what's on the run sheet? What do we have to talk about?
Well, I thought it was going to be called the Staker Show this week, but Leuenberger's news has pretty much taken that over, so I think we'll mainly just be focusing on Ruck and then get to some listener questions about a few of the other things that are going on. So let's get into it, mate. Leuenberger is an obvious trade, I think, because they've said it's 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, even if it was sort of 3 or 4 weeks with the buys coming up, you probably have to trade him anyway. So, yeah, he's a round 11 buy player. People would have planned around that happening. And I think the obvious candidate, as we've discussed, though, is Nick Nat. But he does cost an extra, what are we looking at here, nearly $150,000. So you'd have to be getting that cash from somewhere, I guess.
Actually have to do a downgrade. I mean, if you're looking at downgrading a rookie, you have to downgrade a rookie of about 260K to be able to facilitate that upgrade. But Nick Nat, Mark, if he averages 115, that's ultra premium type average and available in the rucks, actually matches, you know, the midfielders, and it's easy to oversee that. So he's definitely worth the cash, and his break even 69 off the back of two scores of 140. And I think it's just the natural selection just based on scoring potential. You don't want to miss out on Nick Nat if he goes on a big run with his scoring potential, because I think you put yourself out of contention. And I pretty much think that's why people are bringing him in. I think it's too dangerous not to, Mark.
Yeah, I think the fact that he was so good last year, he's still so young, you'd expect him, and it has so much development left in him, you'd really expect him to improve over the next few years. So they were pretty cautious with him with his groin injury, and hopefully he's overcome that. Doesn't seem to present a whole lot of value at 600,000, so I can see why people would go in other directions, but he does look a player of the future where he could average 120 plus as a ruckman, which is just massive, because everything he does is just brilliant. Like, and he's so good to support, and the contested ball is just fantastic.
So, like I said, if you see Nick Nat as a must-have player, then obviously you have to bring him in, even though he costs that massive price tag. But if you don't see him as a must-have, then, like Mark said, he doesn't hold much value, so you might actually look somewhere else. Now, the player that we're going to talk about had a bit of an injury trouble, Matthew Kruser, earlier in the season, and he's come back. But Robbie Warnock, Mark, actually made his way into the side while Kruser was out, and he's held his spot. So Kruser's had to play a lot more time up forward, and of course we know that means it's a bit tougher on his scoring, because we're more reliant on him actually clunking some goals.
Yeah, very interesting. At the start of the year, Kruser was looking fantastic. I think you brought him in after round one.
I certainly did. And
200s back-to-back, and then he got injured. And he just looked great at the start of the year. He looked like a really good pick, someone who could average over 100. But it did seem like at that stage, Hampson was in the side, Warnock wasn't, and that was going to be a big factor for him going forward. Warnock's very injury-prone. So not necessarily going to stay in the side going forward, I guess. Kruse did score 80 and 92 in his last two. He struggled in his first game back. I guess that can happen with someone like Kruse. It's just missed a few weeks. Kruse is actually at the top of my shopping list this week, mate. I I'm in the situation where I don't have a $260,000 rookie to go down to Stakehouse, so that's going to make it difficult for me to pick up DVJ. I don't actually have the money for that. So the alternative would probably be Cruiser, bank some cash, and look, I mean, he's got a round 13 buy. If he can at least post hundreds for the next few weeks or close to, I can always reevaluate later and trade him to a round 11 or 12 ruck.
The first two games, like he got those scores because his work rate was immense, and that's like I saw after one game, you just wanted to bring him in because he moved so well across the ground, and you're just, no ruckman can match that type of. He was playing like an on-baller, so I like the pick in terms of cash generation, and you know me, Mark, I always love these types of picks, but I think considering the point of the season that we're at, I prefer a pick like Nick Nat where you go after the top 22 scorers rather than the value at this stage of the season.
Yeah, I'm not so sure, man. I think that there's a lot riding on this Leuenberger trade. It's a sort of trade that could define the season for a lot of coaches out there. And I kind of think that you go to Nick Nat, I've already got him. So that sort of takes that out. And a lot of the other rucks don't enthuse me massively. So I think that picking a Cruiser, and if he goes on to average 105, that could be a huge up for me this season. So I guess I'm looking to take some risks to try and get up that a little bit higher. So. And it could definitely fail, and he could stay about the 350,000 mark.
Yeah, he's a good risk to take, Mark, and a couple other good risks potentially are Ryder and Roughead, who we were a bit cold on earlier in the season, Mark, but
I had Ryder. I had him.
yes, but Roughead has turned it around, and
Hasn't he?
Ryder, he missed, the extra game after his suspension because the club wanted to teach him a lesson, and Gumbleton was in good form. And coming back, Mark, is actually 101 and 92. So his average for the year is 96, and he's actually held his price. So he's actually quite expensive. And that's where the risk comes in with these two players, is that you are paying,
Very,
yeah,
I don't
quite
like
proper
paying for
value for him.
Roughhead, considering he's kind of had his big games. I just would hate to pay full price for Roughhead, even though he's shown that he can score really well. I just really would hate to pay that much, even though, I mean, they've got a couple of decent games coming up, but you would think he will get rested at some point.
We haven't heard your thoughts on Ryder in a while, though, Mark. So how do you feel about him?
It's a tough one, mate, because once you're burnt by someone once in the year, it's really tough to
Yeah.
jump back onto them, because there's been a lot of other things as well. Like getting rid of him meant that I traded out McCaffer, which has burnt me. It also meant that I traded in Buddy, burnt me. So like Ryder's like really hit me in a few different ways. So struggling to have a positive attitude towards Ryder and Supercoach this year.
He's got the round 13 buy, Mark, which, like you mentioned before, is slightly rarer in the ruck division, so is a little bit more attractive from that point of view. Whereas Roughead is round 11, so he does clash with Marich and Goldstein. Anyway, to another option, Mark, actually trading to a forward, so that'd be switching someone like Dean Cox, or if you already have Nick Nat like you do, Mark, into your rucks and trading Leuenberger out to someone like perhaps Steve Johnson. So what do you think about that? If you have that option, would you take that over trading in a ruck, or would you go ahead and trade a ruck in?
Because I've got Ngannou up forward. If my rookie downgrade got me the money to get Stevie J, I think I'd probably take it just because of who his next two matchups are. I think he'll probably have a downgrade at some stage and will maybe drop a bit, but for a while he's not going to be cheap given the fact that he plays, what is it, the Suns and then the Giants in the next 2 weeks, who he has a really good record against. So yeah, I think that's a great option. Now, I think the other forward option, there's obviously a lot of other forward options that are around, but the other one that might be a talking point this week is Adam Goods after posting 169 on the weekend. You got Tippett coming in a few weeks. That might mean a bit more midfield time for Goods going forward. Great durability in the past. I know you have him in your draft team. What do you think about bringing Goods in potentially?
Mark, I've actually brought him up a few times, but you always shoot me down very quickly when I've been bringing in Goodsy.
Because I didn't think he'd be ready till mid-season, and I think I've been proved pretty right by that.
Yeah, well, the thing is, this is just one game. He hasn't shown sustained form yet, so that would be my worry, is that we know how good Goodsy can be when he turns it on. So he turned it on in Indigenous round against a tough opposition. And does that actually mean that he's going to continue this going forward? I would have thought that with Tippett incoming, that now would be the time to sort of lay off Goods, because you know, while he could get more midfield time, you know, it could affect his scoring as well. There just seems a bit too much uncertainty for a pick at 450k at this point in the season. If he averages 90 for the rest of the season, like, that's a fairly wasted pick. And in fact, like, you'll find it hard to win, because for that, you could have had, you know, a 105 averaging option instead. So I just think the pick's probably a bit too dangerous, because if he goes flat, it won't just be 95. Like, Goodsy could average, you know, 85 to 90 for the season, which would be, you know, a fairly spectacular disappointment.
I guess he could average 120 plus as well, 120-ish as well.
Mm.
Probably a little bit harder for him these days, though, with the depth in the Swans midfield, because they do share the points around a little bit.
Is there anyone else you would consider, Mark? Boomer?
There probably is, but most of them are in my team.
Boomer Harvey, we haven't actually talked about him. 119, 126, and then 78, so he's 517k.
350th is it this week? It's a pretty big game for him. You'd think he'd have a big one. Tag shouldn't go to him, and he heard him on the radio today saying he was feeling pretty fresh after missing the first 6 weeks of the year, so probably not the worst pick if that works for you with the buy situation.
How about Andrew Walker, Mark? He's dropped 43k.
But he's still over 500, isn't he?
Yeah, just...
And what's his break-even?
152. 58.
Walker's a really good pick.
Yeah, first poor game. Do you think that he's going to drop off a little bit? He hasn't hit the ton in the last 3 weeks, but he hasn't scored all too poorly either. So I guess now would be sort of the point where we look at Walker and we go, now, is he going to continue with this 105, or do we see him go back to the normal scoring that we've seen over the past, you know, 8 seasons of his career?
Look, he is playing a different role, and those loose backs can be a little bit up and down in their scoring. And I think I've sort of been keeping a bit of a distant eye on him, waiting for him to go down a little bit, because I didn't want to pay full price for him. But I think that once he gets under 500, he'll present a fair bit of value. So probably not this week at about at his price. So I think I'd be a little bit iffy this week. Maybe after the buys, he might be right for selection.
Now, the next guy we don't really need a comment on, Mark, but Travis Cloke, we mentioned him last week because he was going to drop again. 36 is cycling out of his price tag. He just played Sydney, scored at 83. So he's at 450K, and he's got awesome opposition coming up. I think Brisbane, Western Bulldogs, and I think either GWS or Gold Coast before the bye. So,
and then after the bye, the Pies have still got a pretty good draw for 4 or 5 weeks as well. Yeah. Back to the rucks, mate. I'm interested in a couple of expensive options. Minson and Goldstein. These guys have been the ones that have been killing it this year. Goldstein at 580,000, 112 average. His price has been boosted up by the big 160 a few weeks ago. He's probably a bit expensive for me. Minson's been the surprise packet, though, I think. And his stats say, pick me. His lowest score of the year is 94. He's had 3 scores over 120. Yeah, only 1 score below 100. He's the lone ruck at the Western Bulldogs. There's not like there's massive competition aiming for his spot. He could ruck by himself for most of the rest of the year if he can stay fit.
It feels a bit like Ivan Marić from last year, Mark, where I looked at his scoring and I look at the player that he is and I go, that no way. But I think this is his season. He's obviously had a good preseason like Marić did last, and he's just on song. Natural progression finally taking shape. And Western Bulldogs aren't going to get any worse. He's managed it over the first 9 rounds and no reason he can't keep it up. So, yeah, I actually like him better than Goldstein, Mark, because I just think Minton's still a little bit better around the ground. Early on in his career, he got criticized a bit for being a bit slow and a bit thick and making a few poor decisions with the ball here and there. But I think seems to really come on as a player. And once you're more comfortable, you make less of those silly mistakes with the ball that ruckmen seem to do with their nervousness and attentiveness, often get caught out. So that seems to have been gone a bit more. But Goldstein, Mark, we've seen some games where he just gets absolutely none of it around the ground, but has been saved by just monstering the taps with his time on ground and the ruck.
What about McAvoy, about 30k cheaper? I know you've been a fan in the past.
Yeah, I have been, Mark. But McAvoy's had 159, so one poor game, and Minson hasn't put in a poor one yet. So I'm liking Minson at the moment. So I would have thought I'd been going with McAvoy, but yeah, I'll take Minson. 94 as a lowest score is really good playing for the Western Bulldogs. They've been pretty poor some weeks.
Okay, so the next option I think is an interesting one, and you could insert Mike Pike here as well, but looking at Ivan Marić, He had the ankle injury. He got the week off for that. He seems to have recovered a little bit. He's 470K, so he's not the ultra cheap like Cruiser, but he's not the expensive option like a Minson or even higher than Naito Nui. So at 470K, he started, I think you paid like 600 plus for him.
Ouch.
He, well, you'd, so you'd think he'd present a fair bit of value at that price. He's still the sole ruckman for Richmond, and you'd think Richmond has still got a lot of games that they're going to win from here on in.
I just worry because average 115 in his maiden season at a club, and we can see that that's hard to replicate. And normally I don't like to go with players like that, but I found it hard to find a player that I liked that was playing sole ruck. Obviously, I should be looking a little bit harder at the Western Bulldogs, but anyway, I went with Ivan Marich, but I think that rule's fairly sound, Mark, that it's pretty hard to back up, generally such strong debut years for clubs, especially one, as big a breakout as Marich had last year. So, well, I don't think he's going to score terribly. He obviously still holds value at 470. I don't quite see his scoring as impressively as last year, and I'd be surprised if he matched his average from last year in the run home. I'd say he's looking more like a 105 to 110 ruck. So,
Which
not
isn't
to
not terrible at his price.
Yeah, no, it's not bad at all. I just think that I would probably take a punt on Minson and McAvoy because it's only another 50K more, and having had Marich in my team, I've just had enough doubts over him that I'd take a punt on McAvoy and Minson, who have shown just terrific form so far this year, whereas Marich has probably been a bit down on his form.
Looking at the most popular trades for the week, this stage, not Nui, massive most traded in player, but Will Minson sitting in second.
What do you think you'll do, Mark?
I have a couple of options. I'm tempted to get rid of Dorr because I don't think he'll play this week. I could bring Rowe up into the rucks, and if I did that, then I could go Leuenberger to Stevie J. So that's option A. Option B is I've got like five round 13 bye players in my defense. I've got Luke Brown sitting there. He would probably benefit from a trade because I'm going to have to trade him at some stage. I'll get rid of Rory Laird at some stage as well. Brown to Staker, putting Staker onto the field instead of Thurlow seems like a pretty decent move, but it doesn't allow me to get Stevie J. So I think, I guess I could go with a Minton type. Maybe that's not a terrible idea. Or I could go with the value of Cruz and take a shot at it. And I think that's the angle that I'm leaning for at the moment.
Well, Mark, you know me, if not for Stevie J, Mark, I'd be nowhere because my team ain't that fantastic. I just brought Stevie J in at the right time. So that's probably the honest truth of it. And just off the back of that, I recommend you bring him in. He was my vice captain last week because he was playing Port. I didn't have to do any research. I just give SJ the vice captaincy against any Port team. And surely enough, he scored 151. Yeah, just rely on him scoring big over the next two rounds. I wouldn't want to miss it, Mark.
Yep, I definitely can heed that advice. I think that it's a really big structural advantage to bring in Staker into my defense for Brown. So that potentially outweighs bringing in what Stevie J would do. So I think that I probably have to take that fairly seriously. And yeah, I'll be thinking on that over the next couple of days.
Yeah, I understand that completely, Mark. I'm actually deciding between, now's the time to move on Mays. Well, I should have moved on him probably a couple of weeks ago, but now's the time to move on Mays. He's going to drop in price again. But bringing Staker into my forward line, he doesn't really come into play. Whereas if I brought him in for Luke Brown, I get Staker instead of Luke Brown, who's been scoring like 19 for me. So yeah, that's a very important consideration, Mark, and something that, often gets overlooked. I certainly have done it so far this year, been focused a bit too much on the buys and the trade-in targets this year. But yeah, to look at who you're actually replacing on ground, because like you said, Mark, if you're replacing a Luke Brown type, the option B might become a hell of a lot more attractive.
Speaking of getting rid of Mays, I did do that in one competition, Sportle. I went up to fourth over the weekend. I
Congrats, Mark.
bit of distance between me and you now, though, mate. You were in
Yeah.
front of me before last week.
I think I peaked at fourth now, so I think you grabbed that mantle now. And I'm down to 20th now. So I think you comfortably beat me by about 300 points this week, Mark. So,
Yeah, I think I was like top 10 for the week or
oh,
so.
wow. Did you go knick-knack in that or?
And I'm probably looking at him this week, though.
Hoping to come back up and join you in the top 10. Hopefully that'd be a bit of a nice thing if we can both make it in there. But see how we go, Mark. Shall we get on to some listener questions, Mark? We'll
start
off with Lonergan Viney, two injured rookies. What should we do with them?
My wife has Lonergan and Viney on her midfield bench.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, so she's in a little bit of a pickle this week. It's interesting, though, because she was sort of saying, oh, what can I do? And well, one of the options would be trade one of them to Staker and open up the DPP. But that's sort of like, if you're doing it in the defense, it takes like a Vlosten off the field or something like that. The other option is we've got Rovat, I think, from the Doggies, and potentially Kyle Martin if he's picked this week. Hasn't been upgraded yet. As options in the midfield that are mid rookies coming up over the next few weeks. So you could potentially just wait and trade them down. I think my plan is with Viney, keep him. I've got Viney as well, keep him this week and look for an option next week to trade him to. Hopefully be able to make a downgrade. But yeah, if you've got both of them coming into the buys, you certainly can't carry both of them, and it's tough even carry one. So
yeah, it sounds like you're not even going to try and carry one of them, Mark. And I tend to agree with you, just because, you know, when we're already doing buy planning, if every single person plays, like, we get, you know, like 19 people on park. So you don't want to be fretting about your rookies actually playing.
But these guys are like ruled out. Like Viney, I guess, would be some chance to play round 13, but Lonergan's certainly out during the buys. Mm.
Rocky Mark, Richard Stone asks, do you believe it's only 2 weeks? It's a quaddie.
I know. This is a really tricky one. I think considering I have to target Staker and I have to deal with Leuenberger this week, Rocky has a week to assess. He said hopefully I only miss the one game back after the bye. You probably have to take that at face value. And if he doesn't come up for round 12, maybe look at trading him out. If he's not right through the buys, that's going to be a very, very tricky situation to deal with. And yeah, those quads, like we've seen Stephen Hills drag out. We saw Zaharakis drag out a lot last year. We've seen Beam still hasn't even played a game this year. So that can be a very tricky injury and can go for a while. So I think I can understand why people would just go bang trade this week. Probably not the worst decision, and it could work out. We saw that with Gibbs as well. Like these players that end up being out for longer than they say, I think most people end up holding him though. Now, you got any inside word on Chappie? He's been a one-week injury now for, it must be 6 or so weeks.
Yeah, I've got no inside mail, but we've got GWS coming up after Gold Coast, so he could miss until after the buys, Mark.
Would not think that they'd play him before the buys with that run.
No real reason to. I don't think anybody still has him, do they, Mark?
I think some people have, because it's 1 week every week.
You'd be hating Chapman. He'd be on the never again list, I think, after that.
I think he's already on a lot of people's, isn't he?
Yeah. Daughter Staker, Mark, is that the number one cash grab for the week?
Guess if you can do it and it makes sense for your team, that looks like a pretty good cash grab, because I think Dawes break evens like 120 or something stupid. Like you would think that North wouldn't pick him after they keep getting run over and having to sub him out of games. But, I mean, you never know with selections. And I think, yeah, if you can make the money there, probably go for it. That assumes that he's not going to play during the buys. If he's still selected this week, you're probably better off keeping him, because he can cover in round 11 or round 12 for you, I guess. But maybe Blitzavs might not be playing through the buys either. That could, Blitzavs and Dore out during the buys could cause a little bit of problems for people.
We've got Vardy supposed to come back this week, Mark. Yeah. So, yeah, that'll certainly be a challenge for him to hold his spot. All right, now on to the next player, Mark. Andrew Gordon asks, is it time to trade Brent Maloney?
Yes, last week was probably the time to trade Brent Maloney.
And I guess, you know, that's the thing about mid-prices, is that if you get them in, you do need to use them very aggressively. The right time to trade him out, I mean, ironically, is probably, you know, after round 5, like after his massive 127. That was probably the time to trade him after his biggest score, and it would have been the hardest time to trade him. But because then it would have been 5 rounds, and you get to move on that cash quickly to a premium that you get to keep for the rest of the season. But, you know, at this stage, 9 rounds in, he's only made 88K for you, averaging 94. He's actually not been too great a pick, Mark. So it was a really fine line between Maloney, I think, being quite a good selection and being a fairly marginal selection. So I think if you're still holding him, that, yeah, it's time to move him. And it probably would have been better to move him a bit sooner, but probably injuries hit, Mark, which is unfortunate.
Now, could you possibly trade him to Luke Ball?
He scored 101 in his second game. So that puts him with a break even of 17, Mark.
Price of 300,000. Could possibly average 95, maybe, especially with Collingwood's injuries. Could go up to the 440 mark, and then you just upgrade again like you would with Maloney.
Yeah, I think probably a bit tough, because Ball has the round 13 bye. So in the midfield, you got the Pendlebury, Swan, Ablett, Watson,
Danger,
Murphy, Judd. So from that perspective, it's probably a bit tough. I think you'd probably prefer to target an ultra premium like Swanee, who's plunging, Mark, plunging.
But is he injured? That's the question.
Oh, I hadn't heard anything about that. Tell me the gossip.
The gossip only is that he's doing so crap, he must be injured.
Well, don't
take my word for it, mate. That's purely only gossip. There's no source at all. And
yeah.
There is some talk that he'd be rested this week. And I guess with Collingwood's draw, if it's not this week, it might be in the next few. So he looks like such an obvious in at his price, which is rapidly dropping.
He was supposed to come in for me this week, Mark. At 550K, at Swan with three sick opponents coming up. He's supposed to be ripe for the plucking, but it's pretty hard to bring him in with his bye at round 13 after he goes ahead and scores a 67.
And he will just get cheaper.
Anyway, Mark, hopefully he continues to get a little bit cheaper this week against the Lions, I think they're playing.
Yes, I don't know.
And hopefully you continue to move up the ladder, Mark. Join us up in the top 1,000 and I could do with a move up. I'm stuck at 230, so I want to crack back into the top 100 if I can, Mark.
You do feel a lot more comfortable in the top 100 than just outside, don't you?
And it's marginal, the points, but yeah, it is much more comforting. Anyway, all the best for the upcoming round, guys, and we'll catch you guys next week.
See ya.